Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Blinds Galore. The first place you go for custom window treatments online. We have them here. We have them in the other warehouse, in the edit bay, the whole place. Blinds Galore. Have it at my house. Have it in my bedroom. It's awesome. Blinds Galore does one thing, and they do it better than anyone. 100% custom window treatments built to your exact measurements. Designer quality without the designer prices. They beat the big box stores' prices, and they have experience, and they have experts, and they'll send you samples. You get free expertise and free samples. You get up to 15 different colors, so you pick out the color that's perfect for you. Insulate your windows with their stylish cellular shades. Keeps the cold out and the warm in, and then vice versa. When we get to the summer months, it's Blinds Galore, right, Dawson?
Blinds Galore makes it easy to get the custom blinds and shades you've always wanted in your home. Go check out BlindsGalore.com and let them know Adam sent you. That's BlindsGalore.com. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Brad Williams. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and Christy Bishop gives out another commercial grade. And now, professional podcaster on a closed course, do not attempt, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on! Got to get it on. A choice but to get on. Mandate, get on. Thanks for listening. And thanks for sharing. I love hearing where you guys hear us. I love that. Gets me through my commute or tough day at the office. Good day, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
A short man.
This half of the show brought to you by BlindsGalore.com. Enter Adam. And from youflowers.com/Adam, Castrol Edge, titanium strong for maximum engine performance. First, super quick, happy birthday, Gina Grad.
Oh, hey, thanks.
Many others. agree with me on that.
Moving on.
I hope you got the card where all forces sign.
Oh my God.
That's way over the top.
Are you kidding me?
Matt's bringing flowers in.
Oh, those are insanely huge
and
beautiful.
That's a sorry I cheated on you bouquet.
Thank you, my God.
Wow. Yeah, this is a deep cut, but that is a Rodney Dangerfield's wife-esque bouquet.
I don't get the reference.
Rodney Dangerfield remarried late in life. Uh-huh. And, you know, if you're Rodney Dangerfield, you got to get a new wife.
Yeah, you got to upgrade.
He didn't have an ounce of success before his 55th birthday, you know, and then he became Rodney Dangerfield.
Right.
And he married I hope you're sitting down, much younger
older?
Than he.
Come on.
Sink up there.
Yeah, no. Brian, you should have known. I know it usually goes that direction, you should have heard the inflection.
I should have anticipated we were going with that one.
So this old comedian marries this younger blonde.
Never happened.
Except for every rule.
And she somehow, in the Vegas of my memories, I remember her being in a business of, it was like a florist who did oversize roses.
Huh.
That's all.
Wow.
I have three Rodney Dangerfield recollections. There was his wife. You can figure that one out, Max Zapata. Rodney Dangerfield's wife in like the oversized flower business. The other one was they had like a condo on Wilshire, and I think they wanted a hot tub, and they craned it in and put it on the balcony.
It's power move.
That's success.
Power move. Oh, the biggest power move is it was heated, and he was in it. So that's a big move. But he was a diver. You saw.
Yeah, I just saw back to school.
The crane company, obviously, it's a liability unless you have someone who's a certified Olympic-esque
diver.
Unless
you can do the triple Lindy.
Right. And and the other part was his blonde wife, who must still be around and have all the money, was
turned 40.
Into giant flowers. Right. Gabe picked the flowers. They're big, giant.
Thank you, guys. Could not get those
by the side of the freeway.
Those are gorgeous. I have a couple of pictures. I was surprised this morning by my boyfriend and his son with
Hold
lots
on.
Of great stuff.
Mm-hmm. Just because I'm nervous.
Please.
Not Rodney Bingenheimer.
Oh.
Rodney Dangerfield.
Local guy.
and it's his wife.
Bloody
KLOS.
So at some point, 20 minutes where I go, "Will we find anything about the flowers?" And she goes, nothing about Rodney. All right. He's married. He's never been married. All right. Rodney Dangerfield, wife, blonde, big stem roses. Sorry, go.
So my boyfriend's son is all boy, mostly. And he picked out presents for me, and I opened them one by one this morning. And I sent Chris a couple of pictures. I don't know if you have them up. First, he picked out traffic cone birthday candles for me.
I like that.
In my NSNG omelet, because he loves cars and traffic and all things construction. Then all of my presents, I have a picture of it. Yeah, there you go. He picked out a sparkly red, white, and blue bow tie for me to wear because it's fancy.
Patriotic.
And those are going to Vegas?
Yep. Two pairs of sunglasses, a birthday button, and a card that says, granddaughter, you're a joy. Because it had a bird on it. So that was real nice.
How old is he?
He's 3.5.
So he's just coming online.
Yeah. So thank you. These are unbelievable.
Those are unbelievable. And I got
to
tell
you. Sorry to whoever paid for
them. I'm going
to
deputize someone to pull those out and put water in them now.
Stat.
Because I am like one of those. I'm just a weirdo that way. Which is the longer they sit. Mm-hmm. Not submerged in water.
They're dying.
You shave an hour off of their shelf life. All right. So beautiful.
Thank you.
Congrats.
Oh, thank
and
you.
We'll, you know, if you're around in a year.
Yeah.
I mean, then you're going to be dead, but obviously.
He'll be on this earth.
May not be here. then we'll do it again.
Perfect. I can't wait.
I had a couple thoughts. I was talking to Garrigus about this earlier today. I don't know why we have this old school. There's this thing where you just want to talk about old school stuff, but I feel like there's a bigger chasm between the kids today. Everyone will always say that throughout history. And don't get me wrong, but I just mean certain universal truths that are now just essentially gone, which is the notion when you were a kid. 3/4 of my life was sort of surrounded around the notion and theory and activity of put it back. Mm-hmm. You've got to put it back before somebody finds out it's gone.
Yep.
And there was it went from if somebody borrowed their dad's car or something, if someone went out of town, the car would have to be put back in the garage the way the dad had it.
Right.
And you'd have to pull the seat to where your dad had the seat. There's the liquor bottle version of this.
It's the entire subplot of Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get that car back exactly like it was.
Drive it backwards.
Put it back. Yes, there was like, oh, he's got a penthouse in his chest of drawers, and at the front, the lower drawers underneath the t-shirts, and you may go look at that penthouse, but you would never just set it on top of the chest of drawers. You'd put back, and you'd make sure that it was facing the right direction,
yep.
And in the corner, there was a food, there was anything you would pinch, anything that was in a medicine cabinet, anything that was in a pantry. It was all about putting it back.
They'll never
know.
Put
it back.
Painstakingly.
I could remember, like, taking my stepsister's car out for a joyride and stuff, and like trying to make sure the seat was exactly right. Even the windshield wipers, it started to drizzle or something. Like, I turned them on, but I had to make sure when I turned them off, they weren't like in the middle of the windshield and they're back down. Just all that stuff, just like wiping the handle down with my shirt sleeve. Like it was a pistol or murder scene.
For fingerprints?
Yes. Just everything was just walk backwards, wipe it down, face the labels out.
Yeah.
And you had to take the right amount of everything. If you opened up a pantry and there was some nacho cheese Doritos, you couldn't just polish off the bag.
No.
They'd be missing.
They'd know.
You could take between 9 and 13 Doritos, but don't take half the bag.
No.
They're going to know somebody got into that.
And don't leave a divot where you scooped. You know, kind of smooth it out a little bit, you know, so you can't tell it's been taken.
Yeah, there's you think there's a possibility that Lynette would look in a pantry and go, "Who ate all the Doritos?" And then the answer would be, no one fucking knows and nobody cares.
Yeah.
No one just has to call Grubhub and tell them to bring some Doritos over, whoever would. It's insane. But just that weird notion of got to get the car back, got to get the porn back.
Like you were never
gotta
there.
Got to get the nuts back and the labels out. It's a long process of putting everything back exactly how it was.
Your footprint had to be zero.
Again, I come home now, and my daughter's friend
same thing?
Is roller skating through my house.
Again?
No. But she was also laying on top of the back of the sofa, like laying across the back. Remember?
That's a no-fly.
Three cores of things had to do with the way you were sitting? Yes. Like, hey, get sit right. What are you doing? Get your feet. Put your feet on the ground. Yeah. What are you sitting up there for? What do you think?
Get off the arm of the couch.
King of Persia?
Yeah. I'm sure this isn't you, but some of us had, like in our grandparents' house, had furniture you could not sit on.
Oh, yeah. Don't go in there.
Don't go in
there.
You don't go in the living room.
That's a couch. What are you doing on it?
Oh, like people had a... Like, I remember some people I knew, like, who had money. I had a girlfriend who lived in, Arcadia. Mm-hmm. And they had, like, what appeared to be a mansion, but it was just one of those corny 70s, 80s thing that had a bad bar and, like, sort of fake stained glass over it. Like,
maybe
really,
a column or two.
Really crappy looking, but it was like 4,400 square feet, you know, and... You went in that front door. Ooh, two front doors. Now, we had two front doors, but they were separate.
They were facing each other on angles.
Yeah. These are two front doors next to each other.
Ooh, rich man, poor man.
Rich man,
two
poor man.
Two front doors.
So, two front doors. I was like, oh, my God. You'd have no difficulty getting a sleeper sofa in and out of this place at all.
For example.
But if you turn left when you walked in the entry hall, you walked into the formal dining room, and that carpet was raked.
Yeah.
Your
don't walk
feet
on it.
Would leave footprints, and if you left footprints, someone would get yelled at. You'd have to go back and like rake it like it was an infield of a Dodger game.
Yeah, brush it as you back out with your hand. You know what I mean? Like, I'm covering my tracks.
Yeah. Again, I come home. My kids' friends are laying across the top of the sofa, the back, like a cat would sit. Laying across that with a sack of Doritos on the sofa, eating it out of the thing. Like stuff
we need more Doritos.
It's insane.
Defying you to punch them.
Joan Dangerfield founded Jungle Roses, known for their grapefruit-sized flowers.
Jungle Roses sounds like a Guns N' Roses tribute band.
$118 a dozen.
Wow.
And the phone number was 1-800-RESPECT.
That's good.
I think this is one of those jobs you do when your husband's super rich.
You can.
Because she died, he died, and she's, I don't know how old now or what she's up to.
When you're in the exotic flower business.
Right. Remarried. That's kind of a weird one.
Don Rickles.
You got the... Rodney's sloppy seconds, which would be
boy.
It's kind of a weird thing because, like, it's Rodney Dangerfield. That's kind of cool,
yeah, iconic.
It's also kind of a weird guy to have had sex with your new partner.
Right.
Less history, more mystery.
Probably at the end, he was on Viagra. I don't get no erect.
Jesus Christ! That's a show, everyone. Mahalo.
I get the big bucks.
You don't have to say it, man. We get it. We heard the joke.
It's implied.
Stupid.
I just thought of it. All right. Anyway.
You have to tell us that.
How old is...
You didn't workshop that joke?
No, I didn't work it out. Yeah, I would start off by going, what's in the news? What's going on? Let's see. We got the Mueller report. We got Barr facing Congress. Oh, how about Rodney Dangerfield? Boy, that guy was past just a couple of few. You know, he left a gal behind much younger. He probably wanted to have sex at the end, you know, marrying a younger blonde and whatnot.
Though, yeah.
And, you know, but it's probably difficult because of his age and his health and everything like that. So, you know, he was on some Cialis or Blue Chew or something. That's how I would lead into it. What's in the news would be my first step.
You guys hear about this?
This was 20 years ago.
You guys hear about this?
How old was... she's 66. He's it's a little appropriate, but he's been gone for... God, what's Ronnie been gone for?
He'd be 100 now, wouldn't he?
He died in, 2002?
I remember hearing
about it on Stern when I feel lived like in New York.
2004. He was 82 in 2004.
Wow.
There you go.
All right, so he was 82 and she was 40 or 4 or something.
Plus
whatever
14
it
years.
Whatever it is.
Closing 100.
So he'll be missed, but not by me. Because I met him once and he was a super douche.
Wasn't he on Loveline?
Yeah, it was on Loveline, and famously, he was supposed to... After Love Line would end, they'd just come running up with the camera, and they had like three cards. And you'd go, hey, I'm Rodney Dangerfield. Watch me on Love Line tomorrow.
Right.
And then they'd go, one more. And they go, watch me tonight on Love Line. They'd get three of those bumpers. Everyone in TV knows you have to do it. If you watch...
takes 30 seconds.
If you do Kimmel or you did Leno back the day, at the end of the show, like where you're standing around with Leno and the band... The band just got done playing, the musical act, I should say, just got done playing. They do a quick thing where, like, hold the audience. Yep. And then the guy'd run up and he'd go, hey, Lance, listen, Marjorie and Steve, Conejo, back to you. Yep. You know, the local news, whatever. Yep. Coming up next. And he'd give the names out of the local whatever. And it's like, that's part of the gig. And
keep the affiliates happy.
Rodney's like, no, I got to go. We're like, yeah, but just do it. We're right here. Just do it. He's like, no. I can't. I'm running late. Mm-hmm. And they were like, but we're just sitting here and we just could have just knocked it out. And he's like, no, I got to get a haircut.
Oh.
I was like, I got to get a haircut.
Well, why is that precision timing?
You think it works haircuts. That way?
Super
like
cuts is closing.
At the Burbank Fantastic Sands from Ronnie Tate for a while. And it's like, hey, bucko, 3 p.m. means 3 p.m., not 3:07. Okay?
I had to record some promos for Love Line. I've heard it all before.
Yes.
That shit may work over at Supercuts.
Yeah.
But not here.
Sorry. Now, look, you can either reschedule or wait for Shecky Green to finish getting his hair cut because he knows what 3 p.m. means. All right. So anyway.
That's good.
It was anyway, we'll miss him. Where were we? I had a thought. My thought of the day that I think is gonna help in all facets of life, and it's something I was drilling down on with Dr. Drew about. I'll tell you what, Max Pata, why don't you get a clip of Adam Kroll's Unprepared that Dylan whacked together from, where are we at? We're in San Francisco?
Yeah, this is a cop San Francisco.
I'll use it to set up this thought. It's a little 90-second clip. I'll also tell you guys we're going to be doing this in Brea, May 17th and 18th, in Denver and Portland and West Palm Beach and all that. Although, am I doing West Palm Beach, or is that us? That's a live podcast.
That's us before the cruise.
Before that is...
Although you're welcome to.
Stand-up.
I'll pull your balls.
And then tonight, right? Is it Kimmel's tonight?
Yes, Kimmel's tonight.
All right, we should have that up there, because people can probably still get tickets for that in
New
Vegas.
New Comedy Club at the Link.
Right. All right. So we'll play you that little spot, and it will then launch me into my poignant thought of the day.
Speedos.
I listen, we make fun of Speedos like we make fun of fanny packs because they're gay, but they fucking work, right? The Speedo is still sort of weird and gay, but if you're European, like if you got that kind of accent, like you could have walked in here tonight in a Speedo and we would have went like, what the fuck? And if you're from Idaho, we would have just beat you by the dumpster. But you go, I have to be back in Tokyo, don't you know? And we go, oh, cool, fine, Speedo. Smart that you shoved the sock in there. That's awesome. Also, I kind of miss that all these Phelps and all these pool guys are all getting in these weird, like, weird skin-tight onesies now. You ever see Mark Spitz? Mark Spitz is like this. He's wearing a fucking red, white, and blue Speedo. He's got his 6 gold medals across his chest. Mark Spitz was such a badass swimmer. You know, all these other swimmers are like shaving their bodies down and waxing themselves and putting Vaseline all over their onesie and everything. Mark Spitz had a huge 70s porn star mustache, a fucking big chest full of fucking Jufro hair. He's like, fuck you, Russians. The weird English Tokyo reference was there's a guy in the front row who is an English guy who lived in Tokyo, and I was talking to him earlier. But just to catch you up, It's also, it's such a winter thing. Like when you have this English accent and you explain you work in Tokyo, everyone just goes, oh, super winner. Yeah. Like super.
Penny dropper.
Oh, citizen of the earth.
Yeah. Genius. Yeah. And rich genius. Yeah. Rich genius. Rich genius. And he's vague. He's vague about what he does. Like he does also these guys too. I had a company. I sold it. I just kind of hung out and traveled for a few years. And I got bored. So I started a new company.
God love him.
That's awesome,
that's
right?
Good.
All right. My thought, which is based on that, is let's see. It's got to versus get to. And everybody should get that stuck in their craw. And I'm going to explain more about that in 1 second. First, I want to tell you about. Let's see, Mother's Day. That's right. Oh, speaking of flowers, our theme, Mother's Day, is coming up Sunday, May 12th, and you can't go wrong with flowers. FromYouFlowers.com has a fantastic deal. Right now, for our listeners, go to FromYouFlowers.com/Adam. Get a dozen mixed roses for just $19.99. Rodney's wife would want over $100 for these things. Or
Rodney Bingenheimer?
If you really want to make an impression, you upgrade to 2 mixed dozen roses plus a free vase or vase, depending on where you're from, for just $10 more. That's $29.99 for 24 roses and a free vase. Guaranteed freshness, on time, Mother's Day delivery. J.D. Power awarded their highest customer satisfaction online flower retailer in 2019. That's saying a lot. Order today. Supplies are going to be limited. They're going to sell out fast. That is FromYouFlowers.com/Adam. And check it off your list, man. All right. Got to versus get to. So I was talking to Dr. Drew and telling him about traveling around, New Year's resolution, trying to do more stand-up. And he said, well, how is it? You go out and you do stand-up on a Thursday night, and then you go out to Cobb's on a Friday night and do stand-up, or you go out to Sacramento and you do stand-up on a Friday night, whatever it is. And I said, well, obviously there's benefits, like you're working out, you're on your feet, you're not getting covered with dust or ring rust or whatever we're calling it. And you are you're working out ideas, but you're also just kind of up with the juices circulating and so on and so forth, which everyone understands. Everyone gets that facet of everything. It's no different than exercising. Sure. What's it like playing beach volleyball after not playing, after not leaving your bed for 2 years? Like, it's tough. It's tough.
I'm in better shape. I have a tan.
But if you get around, you start hitting it, and you move around a little, then it's easier. And that's fine. Everyone understands that concept. But this concept is that plus, which is got to versus get to, because if you're going out and doing it for free, now the lines are getting blurred between get to and got to. I used to go out and they'd go like, oh, you want to do dinner this weekend? I go, no, I got to go do stand-up. I got to go. We're going to Chicago. I got to go. I got to go to the airport. I got to. And it was true. I did. I had to do it. But in my mind, it was like, ugh. I gotta go. I can't do this.
Albatross.
I got to do that.
I'm obligated to do this thing.
And I was turning what, you know, standing up on stage and drinking a beer and making people laugh and hanging out in a green room and watching Mike August, never putting the cover back onto the ranch dipping sauce or vegetables ever, even though I would always dutifully cover them up, but he would always uncover that simple pleasure. And I turned that into got. Mm-hmm. And so what I started doing when I started going out and doing stand-up for free, now it started into, well, is it get to or got to? Because I don't have to go out the day before, Thursday night, before I hit the road, but I am doing it, but I'm not getting paid. So thus, it blurs the line a little bit. And when you're driving to the airport to do 2 shows on a Friday night after a day of work, it sounds pretty taxing, and it is, but it shifted. Like, I was like driving to the airport thinking, ooh, I get to, have as much time as I want doing my stand-up at the beginning. You know, and in a club, they're like, keep it to 20 minutes, mm-hmm. and we'll give you the light at 18 or whatever that is. And they're not going to throw a chair at you if you go to 22 minutes. But there's a little bit of, you're on the clock, and there's other comedians yeah. waiting. You don't want to just filibust up there and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to get this packed house full of fans, and I get to do as much time as I want on my stand-up that I've been working on, and I've switched it from a got-to to a get-to. Now, it's never fully going to be get-to, go to Magic Mountain, right. but it does take it from the got to the get. And if you guys... Look, if you have a job at a manure factory that involves a snow shovel... It's going to be hard to get you yeah. from get to got or got to get.
You
got
to get to shoveling.
But many jobs that you probably... Now, the problem is everyone can convert a get to a got to. Mm-hmm.
That one's easy.
That one's easy. Yeah. We're all very good at it. But let's see if you have a job that is somewhere... in the vicinity of something you would have thought about when you're in high school. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was thinking about jobs in high school, they ended with the word man. You know, like you want to be a fireman yeah. or you want to be a policeman.
Garbage
like,
man.
There's like an illustrated book. Like you look at a picture and go, yeah, there's a garbage man. That could be a garbage man.
Sure.
Yeah. So the fact that we're all doing this puts us in the get-to realm, but it's still easy to turn a get into a got. Mm-hmm. And I'm just saying, anyone who's listening, look, even your job may be working at a law firm as a clerk or something like that. It may not be glamorous or involve being on stage or an audience or accolades or anything, but I still bet there's ways to get from got to get.
Yeah.
There's aspects of the job, sure. You know what I mean? Like the entirety of the job might not be get to, but there are certainly aspects of it.
Well, and it's like you always say about, look, you're not in a cubicle, you're out digging ditches. So you get to be in an air conditioned environment and comfortably working on your job. That's something.
Mm. Oh, for me, just sitting is a big deal.
It's a get to.
And not having a foreman announce to us that he was going to get one of us to quit by the end of the week.
Yeah.
That was my greatest moment. I love good old Mike Stramatt. He's like, I'm going to be so hard on you guys. I'm going to ride you so hard. I'm going to punish you so badly that one of you will quit.
It's not the Marines.
It's such a horrible impulse to have a bunch of broken down 19-year-olds who are getting $7 an hour to dig ditches for 50 hours a week who clearly were neglected by their parents and fell through the cracks of the system. The notion that you got to go down.
We're already miserable.
We're miserable. We're here, aren't we? It's the middle of the summer. We all have a shovel in our hands. Yeah. Why? What is that impulse? Look, I'm as douchey as the next guy, but my impulse was always if I was on the set or doing Loveline on MTV or whatever, I would be douchey to the publicists and the producers, but I would never be douchey to anyone who was running around yeah. on the set or craft service or anything.
Punch down.
Why are you punching mm-hmm. the working people? Yep. These yeah. people are working. Now, everyone on a construction site is working, but some guys are putting up crown molding mm-hmm. and other guys are digging ditches. Mm. He was such a douche.
So basic training for no reason.
Oh, you know what you should have done?
Is he dead?
Fingers crossed.
That's going to be awesome.
A tough one to look up.
I ran into his wife on the road, his ex-wife. And
she was carrying a bunch of flowers at Forest Lawn.
Yeah, she was like, oh, boy. I couldn't imagine working for that guy. I was like, I couldn't imagine living with that guy. Mike Stramatt.
Well, he's looking that up. You know what you should have done? It's too late now, obviously. But like, what were the 5, 10, 15 of you? You know, he was basically threatening some group, a dozen of you, whatever it was. You guys should have pulled, you know, a couple bucks together each, got just one of your flunky unemployed buddies and be like, hey, here's $20. We all put in $2 each, whatever it is. You show up. As soon as he gives that, one of you is going to quit. Get up and walk away. So that's it. I quit. You got $20. Well, that's it. You got a guy to quit. Can you go easy on us now, boss?
Yeah, it sounds good, but there was like four of us. Jeff Gaines.
We can scrape together $20.
And Baltazar was one of the guys.
Baltazar.
And it was like three Mexican guys and two white guys, you know. And
which one was Baltazar?
Baltazar.
Baltazar.
It at least would have confused him. You're like, I'm going to get one of you to quit. That's it. I'm out of here. So long.
Oh, I don't know right. if
She always got one. She might be next.
I don't know if Baltazar must be, I don't know, it's Hispanic, I guess. It's not common, but one of the guys' name was Baltazar. I don't know where it comes from. Yeah, anyway.
You know, when you're talking about the got to versus get to, it always makes me think of, you know, program people and 12-step people say things like, so if you're looking for a way to be of service, you know, come volunteer this weekend and blah, blah, blah. And I've heard people say that, and I thought, the first time I heard that, I thought, why would anyone want to look for a way to volunteer? I didn't understand what the concept was. And then when someone explained it to me, I'm like, well, of course, that is a privilege to get to be of service to other people. And I was like, well, oh, of course. Yes, of course. That makes sense. So that's such a great way to put it. If you're looking for a way to be of service, here's a way to volunteer. Here's a thing to do. Here's a thing to do. And of course, it makes you feel better.
Well, in a world where everything is relative all the time, where if you lost your cell phone or damaged your cell phone or left your house without your cell phone, you would be devastated. And formerly, that device didn't exist.
Right. Got along just fine.
Nobody had it. No one thought about it. Everyone was just fine.
Yeah.
Considering that's how we're wired, then the pursuit of success and riches and fame or whatever that is, air conditioning and wall-to-wall carpeting and a 100-inch TV screen, that's only going to beget more.
Right.
You know what? I may do a preemptive sniff here.
Wow, bold. Throw another gauntlet.
Well, think about just the short period of time we've been on the planet. You know, when I grew up, we had a 14-inch black and white Zenith that was deeper than it was wide.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, all right, that's our TV set. And then at some point, it was like big old Sony 27-inch, you know, weighed 400 pounds. And like, okay, well, that's the TV set. And then some point, it's like flat plasma, 42-inch plasma. It was like, oh.
You made it.
They made it. But you quickly, it's like you just got into the jacuzzi of life. And you were like, oh, boy, this really is tickling my feet. Or this is sharp. This is hot or whatever. And then before you just sat in, and then you sit around and you went, can we make it any hotter?
Yeah.
Like it doesn't
tepid.
Feels normal now, whatever. And then the 42, and then the 55, and now I have a 80-inch TV, and I don't give a crap about it. It's just the TV that's in my house, and I don't give two shits about it. And everyone else who lives in the house doesn't give 3.5 shits about it. They're slightly less or more than I am.
Maybe.
Like it's a big nothing burger to everyone because you immediately acclimate.
Right.
And then you go to someone's house and they have 120-inch flat plasma and you want to know what the problem is with our house.
Right.
So that's our wiring. So unless you do a thing where you go, I'm going to go to this shelter where they have a 13-inch Zenith TV and watch a little basketball NBA Finals on that, you'll never reboot.
Right.
You don't get calibrated.
You don't get perspective.
You're not calibrated. You're calibrated to just keep going. That's our wiring. So go do it. I mean, this is also a little what Dr. Drew calls ordinary misery. Like, just go. Punish yourself a little bit. Just go hit it. Go hit it a little bit. A little too hot for a hike. Go on the hike.
Yep.
You know, just push it a little bit.
Stretch yourself. Stretch your comfort.
Yeah. Think about the got to versus get to,
like,
and
that's
getting
good.
The got to the get to. Now, Christy Bishop, who's probably someone who does think in a get to
indeed
way. She also strikes me as someone who's like, work is one of those things that you can kind of run from your whole life, or you can dive into it like you're going through a wave and you'll burst out the other side of it versus, oh, the wave's coming.
Now she embraces those the waves of life, the challenges, the stuff that most of us are like, oh, I don't want to get splashed. I don't want to get wet. Like she dives in.
And not to be too much of a downer, but you guys got married at an incredibly challenging point in your life. Right?
It was okay for her, but yeah, it was tough for me.
I'm just saying, it wasn't like, look, this is all too much for me. I wish you the best. You know, she never had that attitude.
Then there were definitely people in our lives we knew and liked who brought that up to her. Like, did this ever cross your mind? Are you going to stay with them? And obviously the answer is so far so good.
Yep.
We'll see tomorrow.
We'll bring Christy in. We'll do commercial grade. She has thoughts about Big Fat Gal on the Beach. Interested about that. I'll tell you
to commercial, sweetie.
About Castrol Edge. Stronger under pressure, engines can lose up to 10%. A performance due to friction, Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure to keep the metal parts from robbing power and rubbing and all of that. Now, they say if you ain't rubbing, you ain't racing. But this is internal inside the engine block. You don't want that. Three times.
Three times, fool.
Stronger than leading full synthetic. It is Castrol Edge, everybody. All righty, then. Again, we got Vegas tonight. And I'm dying to check out Kimmel's Place. I'm also dying to check out the food at Kimmel's Place. So come out. Harlan Williams is going to be with us.
Yeah.
Not Taco Bell materials out as we speak. Thank you very much at Chassis or iTunes or Amazon or wherever you get it. I'd love it if you watch it. Told me what you thought. And we'll take a quickie break. We'll come back with Christy Bishop and commercial great.
This Thursday night, the Adam Carolla Show returns to the stage at the grand opening of Jimmy Kimmel's Comedy Club. Join the Ace Man, Bald Brian, Gina Grad, and the rest of the show at Jimmy Kimmel's Comedy Club this Thursday night. Get your tickets now at AdamCarolla.com. Do you ever wonder? Oh, 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 you really want to know. Oh, yes, you really want to know. Oh, you really want to know how commercials get made. And now you're going to know. Oh, everything there is to know on Commercial Gray. It's Commercial Gray.
Christy Bishop in studio.
Hello.
Great to see you. Announce your new and exciting title and job, please.
So I'm going back to work, everybody.
All right.
I'm joining an amazing company called Edelman. And I'm going to be there.
Carnauba Wax.
You better be happy I'm going back to work.
Very excited. Very proud of you.
It's an amazing company called Edelman. They're a marketing agency. I'm going to be an executive vice president of their brand team.
Hell yeah, you are?
Yay, that's clap great. Eight. Yes, I've been talking to them for three or four months.
You get a cool office?
I think so.
They have a cool office.
More than that, more importantly, I have a cool team. Really good people.
Yeah, yeah. right. But back to the office.
I don't know.
Allowance
for
furniture. What's going on with advertising? Because on one hand, it's kind of the old school stuff has gone away or lessened in a certain degree. But the internet must just open this whole thing up to these vast new horizons, right?
Yeah. I mean, there was a story a few weeks ago about Accenture, typically not an advertising company. They bought a company called Droga5, which is like one of the most award-winning advertising agencies out there. And the company that I'm working for, Edelman, started out as a PR company. Now they're getting into like fully integrated advertising and winning awards that other traditional agencies would win. So it's very incestuous and interesting. The internet's one thing, but it's just everything's so fragmented. Like if you're just doing one thing, you're not going to succeed. You have to do all of it and do it well.
Everyone was sort of outraged over the DNA find your ancestry where the white guy was freeing the black woman.
Oh, ancestry.com. Oh
yeah, everyone hated it.
Oh
and I
God.
Thought, I didn't hate it, but I realized you can't go, it's a third rail. Like there's no good way of doing that. So
no.
it's kind of a why even. Why bother going down that road in this day and age? Like,
well,
don't you know?
It came from Canada. Like,
oh,
and
Canada.
So it has to be well intentioned. Like, I think it's
it's polite.
It's very polite. Yes, they're like, let's look at the positive side of slavery. Like,
sorry,
we're so sorry.
I'm not like put off by it. I thought they were trying to make a positive statement. I just thought, don't you know in this day that there's no version of this, no matter how thoughtful you think you're being, or you know, look, I'm on the right side. You know, I'm on the good side. Like, I get all of it. And I don't care because I get it, but you're gonna get judged.
No,
everyone you don't go
is
near
up in arms about everything these days, particularly race relations. So, I mean, when I saw it, like,
what, I love how miserable everyone is.
I mean, really,
the time.
Like, but I watched it and I was just like, in what world did this even make it out of like a concepting round into like an internal presentation? Like, you know what? It's good without these two getting married and running away together and like her fling. And listen, it wasn't clear that she was a slave, but it was very, very. It was inferenced.
The elephant. In the room, the thing they very obviously missed is that for every mixed race birth that came out, you know, like this, that came out of the 1860s or whatever, there were 10,000 that were a product of rape, just simple rape in the back, you know, by a slave owner and a slave. It was not consensual in the vast majority of cases.
That came up amongst the Canadian creative team.
And also
at Anomaly. The good people of Anomaly probably didn't go there.
The mixed race couple sneaking off to have a life together, that is a rare exception.
But I get it. It's like, without this story, like, you wouldn't exist. Like, the story would have ended here. Was, fine, okay.
By the way, simple rape, worst ingredient in a homemade cocktail. I take 1 ounce of vermouth.
Yeah, reduce it down.
I take some zest of lemon, ice, not crushed ice.
No, dilute it.
A jigger of simple rape.
Easy.
A what?
Easy.
Jigger of simple rape.
Can we say
anyone
that?
Anyone listening at my new job? I had nothing to do with this.
A jigger of simple rape.
Oh, God.
Please stop saying it.
Please stop saying all those words.
I don't know what you guys are making a face for.
Add a twist.
Now you can make your own simple rape at home.
Jigger, please.
Reduce brown sugar. No. Okay.
Stop it.
All right.
I saw what you did there.
What is, how much is
Gina,
it
would that
in jigger?
Rape gone right.
You've got simple rape. You've got rape gone right.
I'm leaving. Stay out of that.
I'm leaving.
All right.
His job lasted negative 1 day.
But it's on my resume.
One jigger is 1.5 ounces.
One and a half ounces. Well, there you
Don't
go.
Don't you all feel stupid.
There you go.
No, okay. I do that.
How's it spelled?
The real one has the two sides. It has 2 ounces on one side and 1.5 on the other.
We know. Wow, you know everything. We get it. You're smart.
I used to be a bartender.
All right. So,
he does the same thing with bagging groceries.
Oh, welcome to my hell. Right. And the dishwasher.
All right. Jigger, please. Now, let's get to Gillette. Because I saw you tweet about...
I can't even.
It was an ad, I guess. Mm-hmm. It was a woman who was very heavy set, and she was on the beach, and she was celebrating herself, I guess.
Yeah. So this is real. When I woke up to it, that was the first thing I saw, and I was like, this can't be real. Like, this has to be fake.
It is. Gillette Venus.
Yes.
It's a woman who... Now, look, there's a couple ways you can dress a big woman. And there are ways to do it, like you'll see on, you know, let Ross dress you. And they have the plus size models and everything now. But they're not showing a ton of skin.
No.
This is a lot of cottage cheese.
Well, so the good and the bad of this is like, well, okay. So anyway, the headline reads, or the caption. Thank you, since it's social media, these guys. So it says, go out there and slay the day. And it's the photo, and it's like, yeah, strong woman, whatever. And glitter plus lasers. That's this woman's handle on Instagram. So she's an Instagram influencer. She's got like 1.2 million followers. This is her picture. So like, this is not Gillette who styled it her or styled her at all. But she's all about female empowerment. Like, I get it. Her videos are wonderful. She works out a ton. Like, she has a whole workout thing on her page. So she's getting an insane amount of flack for this. I understand. But like, what the hell are you doing, Gillette? Like, you struck out with the first TV ad with like Me Too. You completely struck out. It was so far like the exception to the rule. Like, Me Too, Me Too. Now this one, like, okay, we're celebrating obesity, we're celebrating women. Like, what are you trying to do? Like, it's well-intentioned, but it's terribly, terribly strategized and executed. Mm. Yes. Like, I mean, people are fat-shaming the hell out of this woman. It's awful. Like, do I agree with weighing that much? No, I don't. But some people just do. And she, you know, she might be healthy. She works out a ton. So that's
her life.
She's
allowed to go to the beach.
She's
allowed
to do anything she wants to do. So I feel really bad about the way that she's like getting attacked. But like, I just don't know what the hell it says about Gillette. And like, P.S. They sell their Venus razors for more than they sell their male razors.
Mm-hmm. That's typical too.
And also, look,
razor tax.
I'm kind of doing the math. Like I used to do with Dr. Drew, where like all the people strung out on Vicodin, that must be taking 100 pills a day. That must be good for the drug company, right? He's like, absolutely not.
How could you?
Because you're moving X amount of units, and you used to,
you're moving products.
I take 3 in 7 years when I have a root canal.
Yeah.
They're taking 100 a day.
Yeah.
And I felt the same way about, you know, Charmin and TPing the principal's house. Mm-hmm. Like, they gotta love it. And if you're Gillette, and you got women with this much volume,
it's a lot of razors.
Like, how many razors are you going through? Well, I went through 2 and I haven't gotten through my right leg yet. Like,
I feel
there's
back.
A lot of, that's there's, a lot of ground to cover there.
There's a lot of square footage, square
that's
inches.
Right.
Yes. And I feel really bad because I don't think we need another reason to bash women for their bodies. Like, we do a good enough job of that at all. just by ourselves, but like Gillette, like figure out what you're trying to do. Like, don't jump onto these bandwagons. Mm-hmm. Go so extreme with it. And like, what's next? Like, what are they going to do next? Like, just stop for a second and like pull it back and like figure the hell out.
The thing that I was also interested in was the twins and the electric car and the whole sort of VW thing.
Oh, like, right. The Discover twins. That.
Yeah.
I got the answer yesterday.
Oh, you got the Discover twins answer.
The Volts and,
I was on the electric car VW one.
Oh, the VW one.
But those were twins
.
Or whatever. Same person playing the whatever. And I want to hear both. I have a question for you that I always think about. Actually, I rarely ever think about it, but I had on the way here.
But right now.
Write it down.
So VW has to make amends for their rigging.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The diesel.
Yeah,
the
Dieselgate.
Dieselgate.
Yes.
And so they have to give money to electric car, you know, the board of electric cars to run commercials and blah, blah, blah. It was sort of, it's a lot like the cigarette companies.
Yes.
Paying for commercials that are anti-smoking
the
commercials.
They're paying off their sins. It's their it's like financial Hail Marys.
It's fine. And so there are no VWs in there. It's a Chevy Bolt or Volt. I can't remember.
There is Festiva. A VW in there. It's an e-Golf. So it's
there is?
There is. You just can't tell at all. Like, at all. So it's a first part of a national campaign by a company called, or an association called Electrify America. Mm-hmm. It's a wholly owned subsidiary of Volkswagen Group of America. Volkswagen, however you say it. Mm-hmm. Created in 2016, but like you said about this investment, it's a 10-year, $2 billion investment on zero-emission vehicle technology and awareness. Mm. So this ad was the first one. There was a VW e-Golf, a Honda Clarity. By the way, never heard of that car. Mm-mm. Nissan Leaf, BMW i3, and Hyundai Ioniq, in addition to the Chevy Bolt.
Well, in the commercial I'm talking about, I think it was just the Chevy that was in it. The one we drilled down on this show.
That's the only one you can see, really.
Oh, okay.
Like the logo.
Yeah, I don't even know there's... I'm trying to think of the other cars that are...
It's towards the end when they all... kind of go away.
So the question then is, if it's VW and VW's paying and they have to have an electric car in a world where you do TV shows and they put gaffer's tape over everything all the time. If you wear Nikes on a TV show, they just put tape over it. I'm almost like, it looks so stupid, but that's what they do.
It really draws attention.
And like, if the Apple on the MacBook
You go out and shoot a car, that's just the Ford logo, just boom, they put gaffer's tape over it. That's how they do it. So if I'm VW and I'm shooting a commercial and I need an electric car and I can see the Chevy bow tie in the front grill, why not some silver gaffer's tape just over that? Am I being forced to?
No, I have no idea. Yeah, to be honest with you, I don't know the way that strategy has come to life. You hear all the other cars. There's three or four or five. I don't know why. It might be because that's the car that has the most awareness. They might have done the research like, okay, this has the highest sales, has the highest awareness amongst the general population. So since this is a message about electric cars, and the whole message is basically like, if you're not driving an electric car, you're living in the past, like the Flintstones. Mm-hmm. So I could see them using that as a flagship because people have bought it and they're aware of it.
In my world, where every time you bust out a camera, somebody busts out the gaffer's tape. Mm-hmm. I don't, and Chevy's my competition.
Yeah.
Why not just put one 3-inch piece over that bow tie?
No, they can't, because they're promoting electric cars and how good it is.
It's not a commercial for Volkswagen. It's a commercial for electric cars.
Yes, exactly.
No, it is cars, but not the Chevy Volt. You know what I mean?
But like, that's one of the highest selling electric car. So you're using that as like basically the primary vehicle then to have a halo effect on the rest of it and have a positive effect on the
right. But is somebody enforcing that?
Probably. They probably look to see who knows of the Chevy Volt versus
it's in their best interest to do a Volkswagen. Yeah, frankly.
Like, by the way, the list I just read, like, we were all like, what are those cars? Like,
right.
The Clarity.
Well, they're not going to let them do a Volkswagen, or they're not going to let them highlight it.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I'm just saying, if I were there and I was for Volkswagen, I go, I'm not advertising for it. Yeah. We'll have an electric car, but I don't want people to know what it is.
Yes.
So get out the gaffer's tape and put it over the front.
Yes.
But then somebody probably told them no.
Well, from a research perspective, guaranteed, it's because it's the best-selling one with the highest awareness. If you're trying to have a halo effect on positive imagery and sentiment, I'm being all nerdy, sorry, for like electric cars, then you show that the Volt. Hmm.
I still don't understand that, though, because...
No, Christy.
I know.
No, I get the halo effect, but,
It's the only one people will know of. Like, if you put a different logo and people don't, it's like Flintstones and Jetsons, people are not going to understand that it's electric because you've never seen like an Ionic before.
Right. I think the only difference in our way of thinking is if it's enforced by some sanctioning body, then you can't. If it's left up to me as Volkswagen, I will cover it.
But this is not a commercial for or by Volkswagen. It's commercial for this third party now entity, which is Electric Cars for America or whatever it's called.
But it is a wholly owned subsidiary of Volkswagen Group of America.
So I wonder if that's some home cooking they're not allowed to, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm sure just like the cigarette companies or whatever it is, when you have your own company, but it's regulated and you cannot do whatever.
Marlboro's not putting Marlboro ads on anti-cancer things.
Let's do one more. What do you got?
So,
there?
Well, let's talk about the Discover twins.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So,
We've been debating about this.
I have an answer. So I interviewed a gentleman named Ross Lacey yesterday who owns Ross Lacey Casting. And he's a very prominent casting director in L.A. from my podcast. And like 3 minutes into the conversation, we're like, oh, this ad. And I was like, and you've done Discovery. He's like, oh, yeah, I did the twins. I was like, whoa, what? Stop.
Pull the car over.
Yeah, pull the car over. Like, and I'm like, so wait, we got to get to the bottom of this. And I'm like, what is the strategy? Like, tell me everything. And he's like, oh, yeah, well, we're in our 11th round of casting. So they're in their 11th round of the campaign, meaning there's multiple ads in each round. So probably like, I don't know, 30 ads in. And from the get-go, he swears the brief was to get two people who look identical but are not twins. They're not related. So they cast in New York, Chicago, and L.A. Oh, very laborious. And we were sitting in the room that they cast in, and he was like, we will find them, fly them together, put them in this little room with the two desks, and they're separated. And we have them talk to each other to make sure, like, the voices sound similar, that they can react, they have charisma. I'm like, but why? Like, why not just the same person? He's like, because we wouldn't be having this conversation. And I was I'm vindicated because they wanted cultural awareness, like cultural currency, because you're like, what are you doing? Why are you actually putting two different people instead of the same person? And he's like, they wanted conversation.
It's just like, to annoy people. So they're working smarter or harder, not smarter for a reason.
Brian, like,
Christy was very excited to tell me this information yesterday after the interview. And I said, I guarantee Adam and Gene are going to have the same reaction as me. And you're having the same reaction as I had, which is, that may have been their strategy. This whole like, oh, don't have conversation. That they're reverse engineering a disaster. Like, they're reverse engineering a poor concept, which is, oh, people are confused. Oh, that was the intention all along. No, it was not. You were not trying to confuse people.
Well, you guys have talked about 9/11 and the blind shake and Avenatti. We're talking about Avenatti, aren't we?
The example I gave to Christy, like, that's like saying if I cheated on you and you got upset at me and were yelling, I'm like, hey, look at the spark it's caused in our relationship.
Right?
I effed up.
No. My bigger problem was that I was 30 seconds into a conversation about how excited I was that I got the answer. And all of a sudden,
kind of crap
he
on
crapped
point.
On my point with it. I was like, this is why people say that you do this, because you're crapping all over my point and I'm excited. And I got the answer. He's like, but I guarantee that guy didn't mean this. And I was like, you weren't in the room. Shut up, Brian.
Like, get that drop.
I love you, but stop it.
Well, you're both experts in certain fields. You advertising, Brian, everything in the universe, according to him.
I think that's even important, so, of course. Yeah. I don't have time for stupid
things. Like, I know opinions. You think you know everything.
So this guy, Christine, your opinion, or at least what this guy was saying, but he just, that was their plan.
Yes.
And the plan was to get people talking about it and maybe debating and doing exactly what we were doing,
yes. And because it's been, I guess, quote, I'm using air quotes, well-received and still constantly debated 11 runs later, I mean, it's working for them. They've increased their brand awareness. Like, people are talking about it. People know it's from Discover. So, I mean, from an advertising perspective, it's working.
But why go to the trouble of finding two random doppelgangers? I mean, they're either the same person or they're not. So just get twins. We don't care about that.
I was more blown away with the fact that you actually can find, like, in the gene pool.
Yeah.
Like, there's another Gina out there, another Chris.
Don't get me wrong. I'm curious.
I know. And that's the whole point. Because he's like, well, I mean, if it was the same person, we would not be talking about, like, that's the end of the story. I'm like, no, you're right. That's not very compelling or exciting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why do I feel defeated somehow?
We all know the name Chernobyl.
Oh, good. It's good marketing.
All right.
Yes.
Normally, Chrissy gives a grade, but I'm going to fast forward because we're just kind of breaking down the game film on this particular episode of Commercial Grade. Mm-hmm. But it's satisfying to know. Yeah. Interesting to get a peek behind that curtain.
But you talked to the guy who cast the commercials.
The guy.
That's also... It's always a little disappointing, whatever the answer is, because you think there's an answer, and there oftentimes isn't an answer. I found this in many facets of life where you just go, wait till we find out this. I mean, look no further than the Mueller report. You know, it's like, we're going to get this, and then we're going to feel this way about it. And it's always like, you eventually get it, and you go, I don't feel...
My goal coming in here every time with you, Adam, is just to disappoint you.
I'm already...
I have a middle name.
That's my That's my default setting. But how many times have you said to somebody, but why? Why did you do this? Or how come you did it that way? Yeah. Or what was the thinking behind it? And it's like, I don't know. I mean, that's what we did.
Why did you name your daughter Christy and your son Chris?
That's right.
That's our true story. My brother and I have the same name.
I never really put that together.
Mm-hmm. And there's not a good answer. We just like the name.
You know who did? The IRS.
They
did.
Oh, God. I guess you guys get audited all the time.
Yes, it's fun.
All right.
Well
let
done,
me
Mom and Dad.
Do a little commercial grade for Geico, and then we'll bring Brad Williams in. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you add, save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance so you don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Put that extra money in your pocket and get yourself a 80-inch plasma TV at Geico. That's geico.com. Christy, well, of course, Commercial Grade, the podcast, available on Apple Podcasts. And the Twitter and the tweets that I always read at Pardon My Crumbs, which I enjoy quite a bit as well.
Thanks.
So check out the Instagram at Pardon My Crumbs as well, and Commercial Grade as well. Brad Williams out there. We'll bring him in right after this.